Yeah, here we go now, baby. Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet. You're live right here in the covers, YouTube and X channels. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you smash that like and subscribe button right down there. Representing the Miami Dolphins today, you might have heard they went undefeated for a full season back in the 1970s. They celebrate that a couple times a year. So right back on the bandwagon here of the Dolphins. It's not a true Dolphins season unless I threaten to abandon my fandom of them. That happened earlier in the year, though. It usually happens late, so who knows? Maybe things will be a little bit different for them. More on them a little bit later. Great big show coming up for you guys today. Really good-looking Monday Night Football game in Los Angeles. The Har Bowl going down. The two Harbaugh brothers, two brothers, are coaching against each other. Pretty cool. They did that in the Super Bowl, of course, about a decade ago or so. And we have, I believe, 5-6 total best bets for that. Brad Powers will be by. Recap a crazy weekend in college football. I think 7 teams in the top 20 lost in college football. Alabama and Ole Miss, what is going on there? He's got a couple of best bets for the week coming up as well. And then John Mettler will be by in the third segment of the show to get into our best bets for the NBA. If you guys want to participate in the show, very easy to do so. Hit up that live chat on X, on YouTube. Let us know, what do you like in Monday Night Football? Any hot takes for college football? Any picks for the NBA? Steve Young, not sure if that's the old 49ers quarterback. No way of truly knowing. But he's wins are back, baby. Been beating a lot of bad teams, let's be fair, but they've been looking pretty damn good. All you can do is play the schedule that is in front of you. Okay, let's get into a little NFL recap and Monday Night Football. We bring in our guy, the man with the sexiest smile and all of sports betting jingles. How you making out?
I'm making out okay. Live to survive another week of NFL football. The 1 o'clock slate was, it was crazy. It was crazy again. That Washington-Dallas finish was probably about as insane as a football game gets, like missing the extra point, getting the extra touchdown, not going down when they caught the onside kick and ran it to the house. There was, like you said, and I'm sure you'll get to it in your winners or losers, but that under took a beating in the fourth quarter.
Indeed. So not a good weekend for my bets. I've been it's been a real roller coaster here over the past couple weeks. And Mondays, I'm going to dine out on this one last time. Maybe get to continue dining out on it, though. Mr. Monday Night is what they are calling me. I made that nickname up for myself, and a few people let me that. 19-2 over my last 4 Monday shows here. Monday Night Football, NBA. This goes back to the World Series, too, I believe. So we will try to keep that going. But before we get into our picks, let's do a recap. Winners, losers. Let's start positive. Let's be optimistic. Let's take a look at my biggest winners of the week. Starting with number one, Saquon Barkley and the Eagles. What a performance that was last night on Sunday Night Football. Barkley sets the Eagles' all-time rushing record in a game of 255. He's now third on the MVP odds board. And running backs everywhere should be thanking this guy because he got paid and he's performing. He's having an MVP season. He is a true difference maker at the running back position. 2 separate 70-yard runs last night. He's now rushed for triple digits in 5 of his last 6 games. He is absolutely on fire. As for the Eagles, they are setting themselves up nicely for at least 2 home playoff games. We'll see if they can catch or surpass the Lions. I don't think that's going to happen. You never know, though. They have a 2-game lead over Washington in the division. Big game next week in Baltimore against the Ravens. My second biggest winner of the week, Lions backers, and I'm going to put this under the category of what are we doing here? Everyone's just kind of waiting for the letdown spot. I don't think it's ever going to come. A lot of smart people I know, sharp bettors, were backing the Colts, and I was scared off to even put the Lions on a teaser ticket, for God's sakes. And what do they do? An easy win, 24-6 on the road versus the Colts, who had a lot of momentum coming off that Anthony Richardson comeback game, if you want to call it that. They are now 19-7 against the spread as a favorite since the start of last season. 23-8 ATS overall. They are an ATM right now. Unlimited withdrawals. They're favored by 10.5 on Thanksgiving against the Bears here on Thursday. And I'm going to give a little bit of credit to my guy, that man, to a T of the Miami Dolphins. So remember when no one would give Tua any credit whatsoever? Oh, all stats. It's all because of Mike McDaniel. It's all because of Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. This guy is a massive difference maker. He's a really good quarterback. And if you don't believe me, look at the stats here. So he's been back for, I believe, five games now. The Dolphins are averaging 29.8 points per game with Tua in those games. In the four games that he missed, they averaged 10 points per game. Tyreek Hill played in all those games. Jalen Waddle played in all those games. Mike McDaniel coached all those games. 11 touchdowns to one interception for Tua. Now, he was at the press conference yesterday saying, we got to change some narratives. They're going up to Green Bay. It's going to be cold on Thanksgiving at night. So let's see what you're made of here, Dolphins. This is a big-time game for them. They are a 3.5-point underdog. Total of just 47.5. I think I might like the over in that one. And honorable mention, hey, let's give some credit to Bryce Young here in the Panthers. And this was a win-win for them, even though they didn't win the game yesterday. So I think considering the opponent yesterday, that's the best game Bryce Young has ever played here in the NFL. Goes right down to the wire against the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. And it's a good thing that they didn't win because they're going to get an earlier draft pick because of that, right? There's a lot of bad teams in the NFL. So I think it's probably safe to say that you're going into next season with Bryce Young as your starter for the Panthers. Go out there and draft a Travis Hunter. Go out there and pay a guy like T. Higgins. Give this guy some players to play with, for God's sake. So, yeah, good for Bryce Young. Good for the Panthers fans in attendance there yesterday. Jingles, who are your biggest winners of the day in the NFL?
Let's go Baker. Right out of the gate. Zero passing TDs, but an absolute stud on the field in Week 12. That rushing touchdown was amazing. The offense went 4-for-5 in the red zone. And if Tampa Bay gets hot, they're not going to be a fun team to play against. That running back situation right now is really impressive. And if their defense can get healthy and everybody back, going to be a good spot currently. Plus 260 to win the NFC South. They're not going to win the tiebreaker with Atlanta, but 10-7 is possible with Carolina, Las Vegas, the Chargers, Dallas, Carolina, and New Orleans on deck. So they could finish 10-7, Atlanta 9-8. That's their path to finishing tops in the division. Next, the Seahawks, I don't know what to do with this team, Joe. I really don't. Every time I think I know what they are, they're different. All of a sudden, this defense comes out of nowhere and holds James Conner to 8 yards on 7 carries, 6 points, Arizona out of the bye. It was a great performance, but it was the second straight week that the offense has looked terrible. They haven't really put it together. They're plus 175 to win the division. They're on top of it right now. Be interesting to see if they can hold on and they can, like I said, put everything together, that defense and that offense, because they have the pieces. And finally, I'm going to put Will Levis and Bryce Young together. I'm going to put the castaway second-year quarterbacks. Oh. They look good. Young, I mean, he might have had his third straight win, if not for Mahomes. But like you said, it was a win-win situation where he looked good, competent game. They have the confidence, but they lost the game. So it only helped their team going forward a bit more. 4 starts, 62% completion rate, about 200 yards per game. And Will Levis, how about Will Levis overcoming another ugly pick six where you thought he was just going to crumble and lose his job again? No, sticks in. The guy's been absolutely on fire, averaging 250 passing yards per game over his three-game stretch. And he's had to play Minnesota, the Chargers, and Houston, who are combined 23-10. So second-year castaway. I really wanted to throw Anthony Richardson in there, but I just couldn't this week because that was another poor performance from him. And, man, just watch his feet. The guy can't pass the ball. I mean, the deep ball's fun, but everything else over the middle is just, it's hard to watch.
Yeah, like I like to say, sometimes you got to give these young quarterbacks time to develop. I remember when I was a youngster growing up, they always used to sit these guys for a year typically. You know, you draft the Carson Palmer first overall, for example, to the Bengals. He sat for a year. That was pretty typical. And then, you know, Patrick Mahomes, he sat. He played in one game in his rookie season here, people. So, yeah, you got to give these guys a little bit of time to develop, and we shouldn't be so quickly to crown some players. More on that here momentarily. Let's but get negative.
Will Levis's passing total was like 189 yards again this week, right? Bryce Young was sub 200. Bo Nix was sub 200. There was a lot of guys. Gardner Minshew was 200. There's a lot of guys who went over who, I mean, there's some value on those low passing totals.
If I'm the Panthers, I am paying T. Higgins a lot of money. Okay, let's get negative. Let's get into the losers of the week. The biggest losers. There's no bigger losers in the NFL right now than the New York Giants. That's maybe because the New York Jets had the week off. But the guy running the show there for the Giants, what a disaster these two guys are. They are bums. They are losers. Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, you know, people used to give Brian Daboll a pass because he was mean and he got angry and he looked tough. He's not meant to be a head coach in the NFL here, people. He is a good coordinator, and that's about it. Some people are meant to be coordinators. Brian Flores is meant to be a coordinator in the NFL, not a head coach. He should not be running a team, and Joe Shane should not be running personnel for a team in the National Football League. The two biggest personnel moves that this team has made, they paid Daniel Jones, which completely and totally handcuffed the franchise, and they did a bad job of not having a backup quarterback there to actually compete with Daniel Jones. So now they're doing this thing where they're kind of purposely tanking, I think. I hope they're purposely tanking. And the other second biggest personnel move that they didn't make was they decided not to pay Saquon Barkley. And that is completely and totally blowing up in their face. This is a homegrown guy who goes to a division rival who's starting to run away with the division. Now he is an MVP candidate. So these guys are a total joke. Embarrassed at home. They lost 30-7. Malik Nabers, the rookie, calling everybody out post-game. And Daboll had the nerve to say that the team played hard. They just didn't do enough. You think so? You lost by 23 points on your home field. So I think it's time for another franchise reset. Tanking their way to Shedeur Sanders, first overall, potentially. Second biggest losers of the week, C.J. Stroud and the Texans. This team is so goddamn lucky to be playing in the AFC South. They're in the AFC North. I don't think they'd be a 500 football team. So they completely and totally gave that game away to the Titans. Yeah, Will Levis, yeah, he played pretty good. But overall, that's not a good offense. They scored 32 points in Houston. And we talk about, I just said, you know, we want to trash these young quarterbacks. We got to give them more time to develop. Some guys we want to crown way too early. And I think maybe C.J. Stroud falls into that category a little bit. He's thrown some awful interceptions this season. He's thrown some really bad passes. He's taken some awful sacks. He holds onto the ball too long. That offensive line isn't really helping him out too much, to be fair. But he's having an average season at best, and he's been bad lately. Over the last month, 4 touchdown passes to 5 interceptions. Teams are going to be lining up to wanting to play the Houston Texans here in the playoffs. They could be one and done, that team hosting a game at home, because they're going to win that awful division. And my third biggest loser of the week, this is a fun one. I just laughed when I saw this. I don't know. I didn't take the under in this game. I don't know of anyone who did. You had the whole Cliff Kingsbury angle of the offenses fall off in the second half. You know, you had Cooper Rush starting for the Cowboys. So, yeah, you probably could have made a good case for the under in Cowboys, Washington. So the total set at 44.5 points. They had 19 combined points entering the fourth quarter. They then went on to score 41 points in the fourth quarter alone. So it easily smashed. The total goes over. I laughed about that one. Jingles, who are your biggest losers of the day yesterday?
Brian Daboll. Like, a lot of my losers are stuff like that come out of my pocket in terms of losing bets and just being frustrated at what they did. The Giants didn't have their first converted third down until the third quarter in their first drive. They get down to the red zone. What do they do on first and goal? Put out Tommy DeVito wide and Tyrone Tracy out of the shotgun. Like, I don't even think it was shotgun. I think it was like out of the pistol, and they fumble on the first play. And like in the group chat, it was like, is Brian Daboll trying to get fired? It was absolutely terrible. The Tommy DeVito rushes 17 yards to the one, and then those donkeys give Devin Singletary the carry. Like, he deserved it when Tyrone Tracy should have been the guy, and the guy I actually bet on. So that was annoying. Matt Eberflus, it's just incredible how many close games this guy's actually losing. With that OT loss to Minnesota, he is now 5-18 straight up with a 217 win percentage in one score games. That is crazy. No other NFL coach has a sub 400 win percentage. That's a Joe Ostrowski tweet. Another block field goal. Defense and OT gave up first downs on 2nd-17, 3rd-10, 1st-15, 1st-20. And this is from a defensive first coach. They hired their OC in January and they fired him in December. And he's 0-4 in challenges this year. Like, just everything about him is terrible. And Thomas Brown hopefully can stick around because the offense has looked better. But when they get rid of him, he'll probably go too. And the 49ers, they're under 500. Losses in the division. Seattle 1-1, Arizona and the Rams. Buffalo, Chicago, Rams, Miami, Detroit, and Arizona on deck. This is possibly their worst loss ever with this roster. Multiple false start penalties. The 212 men on the field on defense when they were in the red zone, defensively red zone, was just embarrassing. And their second half offense looked like this. Turnover on downs, interception, field goal, punt, fumble from Allen, fumble from CMC, and turnover on downs. So maybe that dynasty is over.
Yeah, I think Brock Purdy comes out of that game as a winner. You know, it's a rough day for the Brock Purdy's a system quarterback or a product of the system and the players around him, because that offense was absolute dog shit yesterday for San Francisco.
And Allen finishes with, you know how many yards he finished with? Because I bet him at 200.
199. Classic spot. Okay, Monday Night Football, good-looking game at SoFi tonight, Los Angeles. Lamar and the Ravens looking to bounce back. Let's get into our best bets, and I'm going to get us started off here. We are like-minded for this bet. I'm going to take the Ravens to bounce back. I love this inside of three. You're going to take them to cover that number, -2.5. So, yes, the Chargers getting a lot of positive buzz right now, but you really have to consider the competition during this great run that they're on. Saints, Browns, Titans, Bengals, three of those four teams really bad. All four of them, I think it's fair to say that they are bad. Last couple games versus good teams, they lost to the Cardinals, the Chiefs, and the Steelers. Baltimore, they are fantastic at bouncing back. This is what good coaching does. They are an NFL best 18-8-1 ATS after a loss since the 2020 season, 6-1 ATS in the spot since last season. And what is the path to victory here? It will come on the ground. The Chargers struggle defensively against the run. They are 23rd in the NFL in yards allowed per rush attempt. The Baltimore Ravens, number one in the National Football League in yards per rush attempt. Give me the Ravens to bounce back, and you agree with this pick.
Yeah, I'm going to go Ravens too here on the spot, and touching on a lot. The Chargers wins versus the teams you said, quarterbacks Gardner Minshew, Bryce Young, early season Bo Nix, Spencer Rattler, Jameis Winston, Will Levis, and Joe Burrow. Combined, those teams this year, 24-52 for a 316% win percentage. Lamar Jackson is 8-1 indoors, and I'll take Lamar Jackson indoors in this game. And like, let's say they can't run the ball. Guess what? We're talking about the best passer in football, arguably. 117 QBR rating. Jared Goff is next at 109. He leads in yards. He leads in touchdowns. There's just different ways that this offense can beat you. And if they try to stop the run, then they can go the other route. And I'm not so sure that the Chargers can do two things. Yes, we know the Ravens' pass defense is junk. But, I mean,
yes.
You can game plan against one thing, and that's arguably it. And Ladd McConkey's kind of beat up. So let's not assume. I mean, Herbert has been great, but let's not assume the passing core of Josh Palmer, Quentin Johnson, and Ladd McConkey is a top 10 receiving core.
Okay, let's go to Prop City now. Justin Herbert, you just took a big dump on him, but I will support him tonight. I'm going to take him to go over his passing yard total of 260. And a half year. So the Ravens defense is getting absolutely torched by the pass here. They are allowing a league worst 284.5 passing yards per game. Herbert really starting to get unleashed here. 32 or more pass attempts in four of his last six games. And his biggest games have come indoors. He had 297 at home last week versus the Bengals, 279 at home versus New Orleans, and a 349 versus Arizona. Now, people might think, Joe, you're contradicting yourself. You just took the Ravens to cover the spread. Well, not necessarily. I think the Chargers could be playing catch-up a lot of this game. His season high of 349 in Arizona, they only scored 15 points in that game. So I think he will go over that number, 260.5, and there's a prop you like for Herbert as well.
Yeah, it's a blitz play, and JPC fourth. Palmer over 17.5 longest. That's I really like that play because I was looking at Quentin Johnson, and Quentin Johnson's is up to like 23.5, which is a big number. But both of those guys run pretty deep routes. But Herbert, no interceptions. Like I said, the Blitz released it on Thursday, projects as a 63% winner from them. He hasn't thrown a pick since week two. Not a lot of analysis in this. You're talking about one of the most accurate quarterbacks in all of football. Over that stretch, 231 passes, 10 touchdowns, no interceptions. And the zero interception QBs versus this defense, Joe Burrow, Jameis Winston, Jaden Daniels, Josh Allen, and Dak Prescott have all gone under this number. Also, plus 110, best number at BetMGM. So shop around for sure. But that's where you're going to find it, because it's like minus 115 in some places as well.
Okay, last bet for me for Monday Night Football. I'm going to take the man who looks like a long-haul truck driver, Will Disley, baby, tight end of the Chargers. I'm going to take him to go over 40.5 receiving yards. So he's really emerging in this offense now. Six or more targets in four of his last five games. He has a very high ceiling, too. He has two 80-yard receiving games within those five games. And bring it all together, Baltimore, one of the worst defenses in the NFL when it comes to defending the tight end position. They're allowing 66.9 yards per game to tight ends. So I'll take Disley to keep on emerging and go over to that number 40.5. Okay, Jingles, last pick of this NFL block of the show. What are we looking at?
Yeah, so this one was obviously just trying to find something to piece together versus this Baltimore defense. Was looking at Ladd McConkey, shoulder injury, will likely play. He's going to be the more bet-on player, but these are the two receivers who play the most in the two wide receiver sets. Josh Palmer might not be the most targeted guy in this offense, but he sits like sixth in the league in terms of yards per catch. Quentin Johnson is in the top 15 as well. So both of these guys are running deep routes, 15-plus yards, average depth of target. There's a lot to like in this spot. Plus 400 is a really good price in terms of we're going to see if we like that Herbert over passing yards, right? Like these two are going to get it. They can get it in low volume. Maybe they see a little higher volume, but torching this defense is pretty easy. Like I said, Baltimore 26 in yards allowed per completion. And if I don't know, I want plus money if I'm going to try to bet against this Baltimore pass defense. And that's a spot there. Another one I liked was Isaiah Likely, who dominated the snaps last week. And your boy Will Disley, both of them 25 yards. That's plus 120. I think there's a lot. I think there's a lot of combos there you can put together. And and even Justice Hill, 25 yards, I think is plus 150 as well. So there's a lot of those. There's a lot of those. We could have a big passing game, hopefully indoors. Let's see that.
Yeah, I hope to see it. All right, buddy. Thanks for joining. You're going to be right back with us on Thursday, of course. We're going early on Thursday due to the Thanksgiving games. It's going to be our Thanksgiving special, airing pretty early, 9 Eastern, actually. So we'll see you then. Make sure you set that alarm clock, chug a couple cups of coffee, and we'll catch you then, buddy.
All right. Later, Joe. Good luck, guys.
Yes, sir. All right. Let us flip on over to the world of college football. Just a crazy, crazy weekend. We go down to Las Vegas, where we say hello to our guy, Brad Powers. Brad, how we doing?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me as always, Joe.
So, man, oh, man, just a bananas weekend. We saw 7 teams in the top 20 all lose. Most impactful, obviously, being Ole Miss and Alabama going down. Colorado's hopes of getting into the playoff. Toast. What were your two biggest takeaways from the weekend?
I'm going to start with the team on my hat, Ohio State, played Indiana. I know a lot of people don't think much of Indiana, but the reality is Ohio State went out there. The market was against Ohio State last week. It went from as high as 13.5 down to 10.5. And Ohio State, besides that first Indiana drive where they went down the field, dominated. And particularly what I saw was that Ohio State defensive front exerted their will on Indiana's front. And that's what national championship type teams look like at this time of the year, particularly up front. And to me, the takeaway is Ohio State's finally kind of separated themselves, at least in my power rings, from the rest of the college football. I'd make them about a 2.5-point favorite over my number two team, maybe a surprise to some, Georgia. Other takeaway, obviously, Alabama and Ole Miss. Losing outright as a double-digit favorite, both teams, when you still have everything to play for, everything in front of you, playoffs on the line, to lay two eggs. Maybe we shouldn't be surprised because these two teams now have lost 6 times this season combined. All 6 times they were favored, 4 of them laying at least 13. So just goes to show you the inconsistencies that these two teams have, even though I still think both of them are in the top 6 to 8 teams in the country.
Yeah, it's crazy. And they both have a win over Georgia somehow. So let's keep talking about these teams. This is going to be a debate. Do you think a 3-loss team still has a shot at getting into the playoff here? If you want to take Bama to get in, plus 180, Ole Miss, plus 220, do you think they're toast? Do you think either has a shot at getting into the playoff here?
No, I think there's still a shot, a slight underdog to make it at this point, maybe a little bit less than what those odds that you're showing me are reflecting. It's going to come down to this. I mean, if everything shakes out, at least somewhat according to plan, I mean, there's always a plan until, you know, something like last week happens. But it's going to be, looks like, between the loser of the ACC championship game, which will have 2 losses most likely, and Alabama, if Alabama just so happens to beat Auburn, not a certainty. Keep in mind it's a TV show, and you're talking about, I mean, most likely a 2-loss SMU team versus a 3-loss Alabama team. I think Ole Miss is out, but you tell me, who do you think the committee is going to favor? Probably the Crimson Tide over SMU.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. When I see Alabama go down on Saturday, I'm thinking that's not good for business. You know, if you have Alabama, you want to attract the casual fan. That's how you get the ratings up. So, yeah, I think Alabama, if they can take care of business and they got to have an impressive win here this Saturday.
Yes.
No doubt about it. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, some politics might come into play there for sure. Okay, so we do have a handful of shoe-ins to get into the playoff here at this point. There's a couple candidates here, but out of the teams who are shoe-ins to get into the playoff, who do you think is the biggest fraud?
Well, there's going to be a lot of frauds, to be honest with you, Joe. Big 12 champ, whoever wins it, is going to be very fraudulent. Probably not even the top 20 of my power ratings, and yet in the playoff, ACC champ, most likely probably Miami. We'll see if they win this week. I think they're on upset alert this week. I mean, they're only going to be like 10th in my power ratings. Indiana, I think, is fraudulent. Yes. They got exposed. But I'm going to go with the team that looks like they're for sure in. The committee loves them, has them number 4 in the polls. I'm not buying this Penn State team. I mean, I think you and many others asked me about them. I'm like, I don't know about Minnesota. You know, if Minnesota's the team to do it. And yet Minnesota almost beat them and easily could have beaten Penn State. I don't understand why they're heading Notre Dame in the polls. I get it. Notre Dame has that horrific loss. But if you're taking the entirety of the season and Notre Dame's number 1 in the country in scoring margin, I mean, I just think Notre Dame and some other teams are much better than Penn State. I will be betting against, even though it'll be a night game, probably at home at Penn State and Happy Valley, I will be betting against Penn State in that opening round.
Okay, one market I have my eye on here with the season winding down is the conference winner markets. Is there anything that stands out to you in those markets in terms of good betting value?
I know a lot of people want to bet. Oh, you can give me a long shot. I bet a little to win a lot. I'm going to take a favorite. I like Ohio State minus 150 to win the Big Ten. I think at minimum, obviously this is Ohio, you know, saying Ohio State's going to beat Michigan. They're a 3-touchdown favorite. So it'll be Ohio State and Oregon, the Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis. And I'm thinking Ohio State at minimum, this is being cautious, at least a 3-point favorite in that game, probably even higher. In the rematch, they'll make the adjustments. Oregon probably a little bit less adjustments. Ohio State will have the crowd edge, unlike the game in Eugene. Keep in mind, in Eugene, Ohio State was laying 3 in that game. So I like Ohio State minus 150 to win the Big Ten right now. I love that bet.
Okay, let's get into a couple of best bets here. Brad has 2 of them. Of course, he's going to be back with us on Friday's show. Probably a couple more best bets, and we have some big games to discuss then as well. But for now, let's try to get ahead of some of these numbers. UTSA, you like them. They're a +7.5-point dog taking on Army.
Yeah, I think we got a rare touchdown plus underdog that I think is going to win the game outright here. But let's take the +7.5. What am I seeing? Well, I'm not a big trends guy, but what I am seeing this season is not a single team this season has covered after playing Notre Dame. 0-for. And they are failing to cover by 13 points per game. So what goes into that? See, when I see a trend, it's got to make sense to me. Well, I think it makes sense on 2 fronts. Number 1, you put a lot into the Notre Dame game. It's like usually your biggest game of the season. Army, obviously, that was a big game against Notre Dame last week. And then I think more pertinent to this year, Notre Dame is extremely physical. And it takes its toll. Even Army had multiple starters go out in that game. I've seen it almost every week. Anybody that plays Notre Dame has multiple guys banged up. And you put everything into that game. You come up short. You're a little bit less focused the next week. You're banged up, particularly at quarterback Army, where their quarterback ran it 39 times, including 11 times on the final drive when they're down 49-7. Why is he in there taking shots? I think they're banged up. UTSA is playing their best ball of the season. I know it's a long handicap, but I'm putting my fist on the table. I think UTSA wins this game.
Let's go. Okay, let's go to another underdog here. You like Arkansas +4 taking on Missouri.
Yeah, this is more a traditional handicap for me. Number, I made it 1.5, pure power ratings. What am I seeing? You got an Arkansas team that's played the more difficult schedule than Missouri. Missouri's played the weakest strength of schedule in the SEC so far this season. And yet Arkansas yards per play margin, more than a yard per play better than Missouri. So to me, you got the better team, played a tougher schedule, getting more than a field goal, even though it's on the road. I like Arkansas here +4.
Okay, there you have it. All efficiency, all business today from Brad. Brad, thanks for joining. Of course, we're going to have you on Friday's show again. A lot to discuss then. But until then, best of luck with your handicap and best of luck with your bets. And happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Joe. Take care.
Yes, sir. The man right there. Okay, now let us shift gears over to the National Basketball Association. And if we're talking NBA, we're talking it with the man who wears a summer league hat, John Mettler. How we doing, buddy?
If you're an NBA fan, you've never been to summer league, highly, highly recommend. It is super, super cool. I literally can't wait to go back. You're like watching, it's like a high, the one, both arenas in the same area. One's like a high school gym. You can get super close. It's like a day pass, like $40. You can watch every single game. So if you are an NBA fan, go to summer league and you're in Vegas. So who doesn't like that?
Now, it's funny you say that because I went to a spring training baseball game for the first time ever in my 40 years of living last winter down in Florida. And it was absolutely fantastic. Yeah. It was so relaxed. You know, you don't have the drunks there. And the fans are kind of into it, but it was just a super relaxing environment. You know, they had the pitch clock. So the game, you were probably there for 2 hours. The concession prices weren't too out of hand. I strongly recommend it. So we have 6 bets to get into. Anything notable out of the weekend here, John, that's popping off to you? The Minnesota Timberwolves are 8-8, some really bad losses for them this season. That's a pretty big surprise. The Kings aren't doing too good. The 76ers picked up another win. They are no longer the worst team in the NBA. Anything popping off to you here since we last spoke?
The Sixers lost yesterday too by like 30, so they're but the Kings, yeah, what was I gonna say? That game actually frustrated me yesterday because I thought about taking the Nets because Jordy Fernandez was an assistant. I feel like every time in basketball when the assistant plays the mentor, the assistant actually usually does better, and he went out there and outright won as 11-point dog. I didn't take him because Dorian Finney-Smith was out. That was annoying. I was watching it. It just dropped as you're talking to Brad Powers and Jingles. Kristaps Porzingis returning tonight for the Celtics.
What? So, I didn't think he was returned till January.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty early too. So it's actually good. I think it's good for one of my prop bets. It looks like Al Horford's doubtful. So I was watching the board because they announced Porzingis in, and then obviously the Celtics spread started to climb. And then right after that, they're like, Horford's doubtful. And then it's like, oh, coming back. So they won't have both guys, but
they're so good, the Celtics. I'm a bit of a Celtics hater, maybe. But when Porzingis is your fourth best player, we've said this a million times, you're in pretty good shape. So yeah, good for them, I guess. Not really. Okay, so we got a bunch of bets to get into here. You got 4 props. I have a spread and a total. Why don't you get us started here, Brandon Miller? What are we looking at for him?
Yeah, I'm going Brandon Miller 4+ assists +130. So the Hornets have been beat up all year. They're even more beat up now. Grant Williams tore his ACL in their last game there. Miles Bridges is out. Trey Mann is also out tonight. So they are just down so many like usage pieces. I mean, LaMelo Ball, I think he's the highest usage player in the entire NBA right now. So like how much higher can that even get when you're missing all these guys? Brandon Miller's just, to me, he's an improved playmaker just in general, moving from his rookie year to his second year. I know his potential assists are up about 2 more per game. And you look at last game, so they're playing the Magic. LaMelo Ball's going to need help against the Magic too. He can't just create everything against Jalen Suggs, KCP. But you look at last game, you know, Brandon Miller had 12 potential assists. LaMelo Ball had 12 potential assists. So that's the same number, 2 completely different totals here on their assist prop. And Brandon Miller actually made more passes than LaMelo Ball last game too. So those 2 things just really popped out. It's not one of those bets that is kind of really showing out in the projections because it's about the injuries. It's about the usage increase, and it's going to happen pretty fast. And it might also fall off pretty fast. So I want Brandon Miller 4+ assists +130.
Okay, first up for me, I'm going to take the Dallas Mavericks, a 3-point underdog in Atlanta against the Hawks. And you might be thinking, Joe, Luka's out. What are you doing? I know exactly what I'm doing. They have wins over OKC and Denver this season with Luka out of the lineup already this season. So at the very least, I think they can cover this number. You should not trust the Atlanta Hawks as a favorite. They have a cover rate of just 33.3% as a favorite since the start of last season. They are 2-7 ATS as a favorite this season with 5 outright losses. Significant defensive gap here favoring the Mavericks, and they're probably better with Luka off the court, to be fair. 7th versus 23rd in defensive rating this season. 4th versus 29th in opponent effective field goal shooting percentage. And Atlanta shooting, you know, you think Hawks and you probably think, hey, really good offense. Well, they do score a lot of points, but their shooting is really cooling off here lately. 26 in EFG percentage over the last 5 games. So we'll take the Mavericks to cover that number. You like a player in this game, Trae Young. What are we looking at?
Yeah, BYB points prop. Trae Young over 22.5 points, minus 105. I think it might be minus 105 now, the best price. So Trae Young just, you know, he's been like heavy, heavy assists, like putting out, I think he had 19 assists in a recent game, but it's also been affecting his points total. So you've seen his points total drop from like 26.5 down to 22.5, pretty low for Trae Young. He is really boom or bust. I did kind of contemplate going 25 plus here as an alt because I feel like he's either going to shoot or he's going to pass. So is it, you know, it just seems a bit more volatile. So I feel like you could probably go that way, but I decided to stick here with the 22.5. You know, he's playing the Mavericks, like you just said. They have good rim protection, you know, Derek Lively, Daniel Gafford. So Trae Young's offense mostly comes from three-pointers and, like, floaters. That should all still be there against the Mavericks. So I like that. Luka Doncic is not playing, but we know the rivalry, the trade from draft night where they swap Trae Young, Luka Doncic. So you just kind of have that little added narrative boost, which not the reason I'm betting on it, but I always love when you have that little kind of storyline that gets a player up for a game. And he's playing the Mavericks, and it's just personal between him and the Mavericks. So 22.5, the projection was at about like 26. So it was pretty far over. So I'm going Trae Young over 22.5 points.
Yeah, the Atlanta Hawks should not have done that. But who did the Kings take before those two? Was it
Marvin Bagley?
Yeah. Is he still in the league? Is he still with the Pistons?
No, he is, I think Wizards. Oh, he's been injured this year, though.
They've made some really bad picks over the years. The Sacramento Kings have. Favorite total bet of the night in the NBA. We are off to Memphis, where the Grizzlies are playing host to the Trailblazers. This number's too high for a Trailblazers game. Going to go under 232. So this is the highest total for a Blazers game this season. Their games average 218.6 combined points. A lot of low scores for them lately, with a few games barely getting over 200 combined points. Portland, it might surprise you to hear, they are playing great defense at the moment. They are 5th in defensive rating over the last 5 games, 2nd in opponent 3-point percentage, but they are dead last in offensive rating during this 5-game span. They're only averaging right around 102 points per game. A couple notes on Memphis here. They have been ice cold from 3-point land in the last 5 games. They are 24th in the NBA in 3-point percentage. These teams met earlier in the season, November 10th. The Grizzlies held the Blazers to just 89 points in that game. It takes 2 to tango on a high number like this if you want to go over, and the Blazers cannot tango from a scoring perspective. Like I said, they're playing pretty good defense here, so we'll take the under there. Okay, 2 more here. Let's start with Tyrese Haliburton. What do you like for him, John?
Yeah, Haliburton over 9.5 assists plus 105. This was one of those, like, sometimes you're looking at bets and stuff. This is one from, like, a basketball side of things. You're like, I, like, see it in my head. I absolutely love this one. And then the math was there. So, like, I didn't really hesitate to even place this bet. He's playing the Pelicans. Pacers are at home. I feel like everyone just prefers the Pacers offense at home. It just seems to have a different vibe to it. But they're playing the Pelicans. Not good rim protection. You know, they're missing their wings. I think CJ McCollum is back, but now Brandon Ingram's questionable. So I'm not quite sure exactly who they'll have, but they don't have Herb Jones. That helps too. And they don't have good rim protection. I just feel like this could be a like masterclass Tyrese Haliburton. If he goes out and he starts passing, his teammates are going to be able to finish. And 9.5 just felt a little too low, especially at plus money. So I went with the over there.
There we go. Okay, bring it home for us here. A pick heavy show. Last pick of the show, Drew Holiday. What do you like?
Yeah, Drew Holiday over 3.5 assists. So the Celtics are in a spot. Everyone has like weird scheduling right now for the NBA Cup because they're trying to avoid like back-to-backs and stuff like that. So the Celtics did play yesterday, and Drew Holiday played 36 minutes. I don't really love that, but the Celtics are off till Friday. That's a long gap. So could they? And the thing was the projection you need to go over, like show a very nice edge on this number was already pretty low, like pretty low for Drew Holiday. It's about like 30, 29 minutes. So, I mean, you're not hoping for a lot here. And could he play more? He absolutely could. Yesterday he played 36, and they have a huge gap. I'll add this in here because I didn't know this when I placed the bet, but Kristaps Porzingis, I also like that Kristaps Porzingis is back because that's someone who converts potential assists. Holiday's just kind of been on this trend here of he keeps going under, but it's not because he's not creating. Last four games, he's gone under 3 or 4 times. He's dropped his total from 4.5 to 3.5, but he's averaging 9.7 potential assists, only converting to 2.7. Like potential assists usually convert, depends on the player, but about like 50, 55% of the time. So that's really, really low. When you're talking about a 3.5 minus 120, you just have to play the over there. So I went Holiday over 3.5.
Okay, there you have it. 6 total bets for the NBA here tonight. To recap today's picks, I'm going to go with the Ravens. I like them to cover. I love this inside of 3 points. Justin Herbert to go over his passing yards. Will Disley to go over his receiving yards. Jingles is taking Herbert under half an interception. Quentin Johnson, Palmer, 50 or more receiving yards each. That's a big one, plus 400. And he also likes the Ravens to cover the number there in the NBA. Mettler's going Brandon Miller, 4+ assists. Trey Young, over 22.5 points. Tyrese Halliburton, over 9.5 assists. Drew Holiday, over 3.5 assists. And I'm taking Mavericks to cover, plus 3 as a dog in Atlanta. And Blazers, Grizzlies, under 232. Okay, that does it for the Monday edition of Before You Bet. We're going to be right back with you guys tomorrow, though. Professional sports better Hitman will be with us to get into some of the hot stories from a betting perspective and also some of his best bets for the coming week. And of course, John Mettler will be here as well. We'll dig into our favorite bets in the NBA. And it is a big show or a big week for the show here because we have the NFL Thanksgiving games here on Thursday. We got a Black Friday game. We're going to be all over that stuff. So you guys are going to want to make sure that you tune in and you don't miss any of it. So let's wrap things up. Thank you to all of my guests for joining today. Thank you to producer Mick, did a great job today. Thank you to BetMGM for sponsoring the show. Make sure you check them out for all your sports betting needs. And thank you to all of the great viewers for tuning in today. Best of luck with your bets tonight, and we'll catch you guys again tomorrow. Let's go, Dolphins!